You're listening to Golf in the Northwest podcast on 1080thefan.com, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires. Doing the right thing matters.
The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Brought to you on The Fan by Laurelhurst Market and by Area Heating and Cooling. Now with award-winning PGA professional Harold Bluestein. Here's your host, Jason Swigart.
Well, good morning. I am Haroldless this morning.
Haroldless?
Haroldless. Yep.
I gotta think there's a double meaning there.
It's too early for me to have thought of one, so I'll just go straight forward. Nope. But we do have an exciting hour for you. No, Harold is at an OGA, a rules seminar. They're down at Arrowhead Golf Club this morning, down in, I believe they're in Malala. But he is out there, and obviously the rules, the new rules have been a huge topic so far early on the professional tours. And as the weather hopefully starts to lighten up here in the next couple of weeks and more of you can get out and start playing, it'll be an issue for you, whether you're playing in your local club tournaments or getting involved in some OGA sorts of things, or the Northwest Golf guys will be kicking in soon, wherever you like to go out and have a little friendly competition.
Okay, so Harold's at this. Where'd you say it was?
I believe it's at Arrowhead.
Arrowhead? Okay.
Arrowhead Golf Club down in, I think it's in Malala.
Malala. Okay, so is Harold getting crazy at this convention?
No. It's just a seminar. It's just a bunch of local golf
pros. But they're staying at a hotel, right?
No, they're just going in for the day. It's just a one-day thing.
Well, that's not exciting. I was hoping it'd be a bunch of old golf dudes getting together and having some Arnold Palmers and getting to be some dirty old men.
No, trust me. Oh. You would be so unimpressed. It's unglamorous. This is all inside industry people meeting for a day to try.
By the books.
By the books, absolutely. So he will have a full report next week. So expect a lot of discussion on the new rules and as they pertain to you getting out on your favorite course. And we'll start to breaking them down.
Well, are you going to get out today? I know you do have some time before the Pilots game, but it's looking all right outside.
No, I got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Probably not today, but it's a 3-day weekend.
Yes.
So if the weather's supposed to hold Monday, so there's a good chance Monday I might get out and break the sticks out for the first time this year.
Now, do you have a favorite memory from a holiday weekend that you've gone golfing? Because I know that's the thing. If you got a 3-day weekend, fit in as much golf as you can.
No, there's been some 4th of July's where we've gotten out, but I've got to find a way to get back abandoned. I haven't been there for several years, and when I went, my game was not in good shape, so I didn't fully get to appreciate it. I got to figure out how to get back to abandoned soon.
Yeah.
Maybe later in the spring, so hopefully.
Well, you got to get conditioning.
No, we'll do that.
Yeah. Start getting on the treadmill, man.
I'm out there.
Getting that swing in order. Do you do yoga?
No, yoga is too painful, quite frankly.
That's not painful. It hurts.
No, it hurts my back.
You know, Tiger does yoga.
Well, good for Tiger. He can't putt, though.
Yeah, he can't putt. Why is it that all those guys that look jacked up, you got like Tiger out there, you got Rory out there who look jacked up, why is it that they can't putt? Like, they really can't. They all have this kind of
Tiger's
theme.
Having problems. Rory's playing pretty well.
He's playing well, but I always think it's because they get too jacked up in the weight room and they get so involved in these workouts that when it comes to actually having the light touch of putting and the guiding, they can't do it.
Well, it's there are some that believe that you're too tight. You don't have that fluidity, the limberness.
Yeah.
Of, you know, you got to do it like Tom Brady now. It's not about being ripped. It's about
pliability. Yeah.
So in absence, filling in for Harold, we are going to get our good buddy Jeff Sanders, Executive Vice President, Lagadier Golf Events. He runs the Winco Foods Portland Open, along with three other events between the Web.com Tour and the PGA Tour. I think he's hanging out in L.A., but At the Genesis Open, he's been following Phil around. He was there at Pebble last week, watching him win for the 44th time on the PGA Tour. And so he is going to call. We're going to get him on the horn at 8:15 here and talk about a lot of things. Phil, his great start on the West Coast swing, and if he'll be back at Pebble, finally getting the one major that's evaded him, the U.S. Open.
That's what I was going to ask. We should ask him about that. What does he think the mental block is with Phil in the U.S. Open? That, I mean, this is kind of stars aligning. You know, if it happens there, it's got to happen.
Very well could.
Yeah.
So we'll ask him how different Pebble plays in the summertime versus in the winter and how different that course will be. We'll also talk to him. Johnny Miller hanging up the headset, called his last event for NBC there with the Phoenix, Waste Management Phoenix Open, his legacy. And I think he's going to be in Portland at an event soon. So we'll ask him about that. Also, there's a new president of the web.com tour. They have a new schedule. They have a new point system that'll be in place rather than just winnings to determine the top 25 in the tour card. So we'll ask him all about those things. He'll join us at 8:15 and we'll keep him talking through the rest of the show. That's never a difficult thing. But without further ado, we got a lot of golf going on this weekend. Let's go inside the ropes. You're right in there?
Hold on.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards. The latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest.
All right. Will's having some issues in there. But there's no issues out on the courses here this week. The web.com tour is where we will start. Actually, the European tour is in action, but it's a small, weird, odd, six-hole bracket-style tournament event in Perth, Australia that even I don't understand. So, and nobody you've ever heard of is playing in that event. So we'll let them figure it out. Maybe Harold and I will talk about it next week. But the web.com tour is finally back on the mainland after their four-tournament run. In Central and South America. They are in Florida, a brand new event, the Lecom Suncoast Classic at Lakewood National Golf Club in Lakewood Ranch, Florida. Tie for the lead after two rounds between Maverick McNealy, the youngster out of Stanford, who many are expecting to be the next big thing to get to the PGA Tour. He is tied at 16 under par with JT Griffin, who is the opposite. He's now 31 out of Georgia Tech. He's been a pro now for 6 or 7 years, but he's been on the Latino America Tour, the Canadian Tours, trying to make his way, finally has status full-time on the web.com tour, and a victory early on would certainly boost his potential to get to the PGA Tour. There are some other more familiar names. You've got guys that have recently been on the PGA Tour. Matt Every is in the field. He's at 10 under. Mike Weir, former Masters champion, at 10 under par there. And then Martin Piller, 7 under par. He is on the course here today. And good news, our good buddy Scotty Harrington, locally here, went to Jesuit High School. He's having a nice day, 7 under par, looking to make a cut as he's working back from his exemption, his family leave exemption. He needs to post some scores, get some points in that new points race on the web.com tour and get his card back. And we are very hopeful to see him at the Winco Foods Portland Open. So they're at a new event in Florida. And we'll have more on that when Jeff Sanders joins us here in a little bit. Champions Tour, one of their regular stops in Naples, Florida. They're at the Chubb Classic, but they are on a new course this time. The Classics at Lillet Resort. Sandy Lyle and Stephen Ames are your leaders after the first round, tied at 8 under par. Jay Haas there at 7 under. Bernhard Langer is always in the mix. He is down, I believe he's 3 under par, but he won last week. He is now the career earnings leader on the Champions Tour, overtaking Hale Irwin. He has 6 victories from being the all-time winner in that regard on the Champions Tour. He's just amazing. 3 under par in his first round. He's just getting going here today, but already he is the leader in the Charles Schwab Cup race for the season-long winner. And just amazing. Might get a few thoughts from Jeff on him as well. LPGA Tour is still over in the on the Pacific Rim. They are in Adelaide, Australia for the ISPS Canada Women's Australian Open. Third round already completed overnight. And American Nelly Korda, an outstanding 5 under round of 67. She had four birdies coming in the final holes to distance herself from Haru Nomura. And Jody Eward shot off there in a group at 8 under par. You've got Maurya Jeetanagarn in the field at 6 under. Not the deepest field, but Nelly Korda, younger sister of Jessica Korda, putting on a show, looking to get a victory, and just was striping it with the irons. Some huge drives, putting shorter irons in her hands coming in. So if you're looking for some good golf being played, stay up late on, or if you're up late on a Saturday night, they'll have fourth round coverage on Golf Channel there of the Women's Australian Open. And that brings us to the PGA Tour. The Genesis Open, last stop on the West Coast swing, famed Riviera Country Club at Pacific Palisades, California. 7-hour weather delay on Thursday has screwed everything up. They barely got a few holes in on Thursday. So guys were playing 28, 30 holes yesterday, trying to get caught up. They are finishing up the second round this morning and hoping to get the third round going this afternoon. Justin Thomas, Adam Scott currently tied for the lead at 11 under par as they are finishing up their second rounds. You had Jordan Spieth basically finish early on Friday morning, and he's been sitting around. He was a first-round co-leader at 7 under par. He'll tee off. Oh, in about 15 minutes, he's tied with Rory McIlroy at 7-under, J.B. Holmes at 9-under par. He's on the course in his second round. As for Tiger Woods, he's right on the number at even par. That's the projected cut line right now. He has not been putting it well. 4 3-putt holes so far. That leads everybody in the second round. And so it's curious, he hasn't played much here. Obviously, Tiger, he's just trying to win majors at this point. He'd like to win an event here and there and get feeling good, but he has got everything trying to get his game in shape for the Players, for the Masters, and we'll see how that works out. Phil Mickelson, after winning last week, he is one over, but we'll have his second round. He'll be playing with Jordan Spieth at 8:22. Matt Kuchar has drawn a lot of attention. We'll touch on that as well. Proper caddy etiquette. Did this thing blow up? Is this social media not understanding very well how the professional player caddy relationships work for a fill-in caddy for a week? I'd like to get Jeff's thoughts on that as well. So we have a lot to talk with him about. But an outstanding field, as good a field as you are going to see at a non-major event. John Rahm up there at 5-under par. Tony Finau at 5-under. Keegan Bradley at 4-under. Bryson DeChambeau at 4-under. So some heavy hitters near the top of the leaderboard. They hopefully will get all 72 holes in before Sunday afternoon. The weather's supposed to be pretty decent today. It's supposed to be clear. It might be breezy for them, which will make that old short course play a little bit more difficult, but always great to see the venue there at Riviera. So that is the action going on this weekend. Plenty of it. Check out Golf Channel as well as I believe CBS has the Genesis Open. Let's get coverage for you today. CBS will pick it up at noon Pacific time. Golf Channel will kick in, I believe, at 10 a.m. this morning. And so you can watch some of the early second round, and then they'll get them right back out for the third round. It'll be interesting to see if they reset the deck or if they'll just send guys out who are ready and they'll sort of play out of order in the third round to take advantage of as much daylight as possible there so they can play just a straight fourth round on Sunday. So that wraps things up inside the ropes. When we come back, our good buddy Jeff Sanders is going to join us. We'll find out where he is, what he's been up to. And I know he was with Phil at Pebble last weekend. Talk about what it's like, what his, you know, friendship has developed with him. I know he's been kind of a unofficial host of the event, the Desert Classic. They've been working with him. He works with Lagadier, so they work on other adventures and projects together. So we'll talk about that. Some of the West Coast weather issues they've had in the West Coast swing. Obviously, the Winco Foods Portland Open and a lot of the changes that have been going on the web.com tour this year. Just getting started. Jeff Sanders joins us next. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
This is Golf in the Northwest, brought to you by Laurelhurst Market and by Area Heating and Cooling on 1080 The Fan.
Jason Swigart back here with you. Golf in the Northwest. Harold is at an OGA rule seminar today. And so we will get a full report from him coming up on next Saturday. But right now, I'm so glad we were able to get a hold of him. He's always kind enough to join us whenever we need somebody to chop it up with. Our good buddy Jeff Sanders, Executive VP for Lagadier Events. He's running four different golf tournaments between the Web.com Tour and the PGA Tour, and but they're done. So are you getting a break? Are you getting to enjoy a little bit of the good life there, my friend?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Swags. And yeah, I am. Actually, I'm down in La Quinta, California today. I'm just out at PGA West, taking a little drive around this morning, looking at the golf course after we produced the Desert Classic a month or so ago down here, and things looked like we weren't even there. So yeah, getting a little bit of time, but we're right back at it, you know, getting ready for this year's events. We're real excited about the 2019 season and all the events that we've got on our plate. So it's going to be a great year.
Well, yeah, we'll get into some of those as well as your kind of your run is done in terms of putting on those events. It starts with the Winco Foods Portland Open. I know you guys do a couple of other charity events that aren't as public as these, so it's not like you're completely off the grid. But I want to start, though. You mentioned the Desert Classic. We saw Phil Mickelson there, kind of your unofficial host. Finished tied for second as Adam Long got them on the 18th hole there. What a dramatic finish, made the birdie. But he finished tied for second, but he really, really set himself up for a nice West Coast swing. He came through, fought through the hailstorm at Pebble Beach last week. That was the weirdest weather I've ever seen at Pebble, but he got his 44th victory there. Just how well is he playing? I know you were there watching all the festivities, and how well is his game? There's a lot of talk after the win that the U.S. Open is at Pebble this year. Is this the year finally Phil can win a U.S. Open?
Well, Phil's amazing, first of all. He is the host of both the Desert Classic in La Quinta at PGA West and also the Safeway Open up in Napa for us, so we're really excited to have Phil. You know, he took a lot of time off this fall, Swags, and actually did some skiing, got away from the game a little bit after the Safeway Open in October, and came back really with no expectations at the Desert Classic. He said he was just didn't know how he was going to play, hadn't been playing any golf. Really just practiced for a week or so and then teed it up. And as we know, he really had a great chance to win coming down the stretch. And pass off to Adam Long for hitting that shot at 18. I was standing right there. That was one of the great shots of all time under pressure. And then a fantastic putt to beat Phil. But Phil played great that week. And, you know, he did all the evening events for us, which is amazing what he can do, and also play great golf. And then, you know, he carried that over, I think, you know, that confidence over to Pebble. And he tried a new driver the next week, and that didn't work too good. So he went back to his original. And then he played great, you know, at Pebble. And he loves it there. And you know, we both know he doesn't hit every fairway, of course. But he scrambles like nobody's business. But he knows how to win, and, you know, I think we'll have a big year. As far as the U.S. Open goes, I mean, the golf course is going to be entirely different at Pebble in June. You know, it's going to be hard and fast and running, and of course, it's just the opposite in that rainstorm at Pebble. When I was there, I mean, I've seen rain in Portland, Oregon, like we've all seen, but that rain was heavy, and it just didn't let up. But he played great, and I think he's got he loves Pebble. I wouldn't count him out at the Open. I mean, he's going to have to figure out a way to get the ball in the short grass, though, because at the Open, as you know, you can't play on the rough and win. It's just too thick, too heavy, and the greens are too hard and fast to stop the ball. So he's going to have to figure out a way to get the ball in the fairway, no matter how good he can scramble in the U.S. Open to win it.
Our guest here, Jeff Sanders, Executive VP, Lagadier Golf Events, joining us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. And how different do you expect Pebble Beach? They've hosted U.S. Opens before. We all remember what Tiger did to it almost 20 years ago now. How different does Pebble play for an Open in the summer versus what we see at the Pro-Am there every February?
Entirely different. I mean, you've got a Lynx golf course, the most beautiful places on earth, and when it gets, you know, when it gets hard and fast, when there's a drought down there, which a lot of times there is that time of year, you know, they're going to bake those greens out. They're going to make them super fast. And so it's 100% different. As Phil said when he got interviewed after he won Pebble, you know, they said, well, does this set you up for the opener? And he said, really, not really. It's a different golf course completely. I'm going to have to map myself out differently. I'm going to have to really, you know, think about how I'm going to get around that golf course in those conditions. So it's going to be 100% different, Swags. I mean, it's hard to imagine the difference at Pebble when it's raining and when it's soft versus when it's hard and fast like that. So it's going to require precision off the tee. It's going to, he's going to have to hit, probably hit some irons off the tee, hit some three woods off the tee to keep it in the short grass. And then, you know, he's putting fantastic. And I think that's the key. You can't win the Open unless you're rolling your ball. And Phil's making a lot of putts and has a lot of confidence in his short game right now, and especially his putting. So I like his chances only because he's so comfortable at Pebble, and he'll adapt because he's real good at that. And then we'll see what happens. But I think he's going to have a great year. It's amazing how well he is playing at his age right now and hitting the ball as far as he's hitting the ball with increased, you know, he's increased his club head speed like 6 or 8 miles an hour, which at his age is hard to believe, but he's done that. So, you know, his length is there and his short game is there. So I wouldn't count him out.
Well, and no, certainly nobody's going to count him out in a place where he's had so much success and been so comfortable. Go back to the weather a little bit. We obviously saw what happened there, the hailstorm. Some of the greens were completely white over the weekend at Pebble. Now you get the deluge at the Genesis Open at Riviera this weekend. Have you noticed, has the weather been significantly different for the West Coast swing the last few years? It seems like, as memory serves, we've had more weather delays, more Monday finishes, more playing, having to play 27, 36 holes on a particular day to get caught up than I remember in previous years. How much does the PGA Tour help out its tournaments with long-range weather forecasting, and is it something that you look at long-term?
Yeah, first of all, the weather is, without a question, it's been a tough year. I mean, in La Quinta here, the last 3 days until today, it was pouring rain. It doesn't rain like that in the desert very often. And so from L.A. all the way across the desert to Scottsdale, it's been pouring rain for 3 days. So I've never seen weather as bad as we've had this first month or month and a half of the new year. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen it that bad. I mean, at Pebble many years ago, when I played in the Bing Crosby, we had some inclement weather, but never like this. And you always had to prepare, though, for rain jackets and rain pants and sweaters and stocking caps, because that was one of the only tournaments on the PGA Tour that you actually had to do that. But these guys are, you know, in L.A. This week, as you know, it's just been brutal. PGA Tour does a great job. They're all over it. They're ahead of it. Their officials are some of the, you know, very best officials in all of sports. They get ahead of it. They do a great job, but all they can do is work with the weather. And, you know, it's been interesting to see how they've been able to sort of make the best out of it. And I commend them for the job that they do. But I think the weather hasn't been as good, and hopefully it'll get better here as the season goes along. But it's been a tough West Coast swing, much different than I've ever imagined.
Is it? I know they've got the new schedule, the condensed schedule in effect, and it seems like it has been helping the fields overall. Obviously, not all the top names are playing every week, but it seems like we're getting more of the top names and players, both the veterans that have been there and the up-and-comers, on a week-to-week basis, which was part of it. The other part was to avoid competing in your biggest events down the stretch against the NFL, but for the Desert Classic in your event, obviously Phil was working as the host, but how was your field maybe compared to some previous years?
Well, we had a great field. We had, you know, a world number one at the time, and still the world number one, Justin Rose. He played. We had John Rahm defending, and he's a great player. We had Phil in the field, and we had a great field this year at the Desert Classic. You know, it was really interesting. I mean, you're right. The fields have been stronger earlier this year because of the moving up of all the tournaments, and to avoid the NFL football collisions in the fall. And I think that what you're going to see is more of that. These guys, you know, they want to get out there and have a good start so they can go ahead and freewheel it. You know what I mean? But there's so much benefit. If you think about it, you've got the Masters in April, you've got the Players in March, you got the Masters in April, the Open in the U.S. Open in June, the Open Championship in July, the PGA in August, all the WGC events. So these guys, this is a condensed schedule. If you think about it, even though we're the first tournament of the year, the Safeway Open in Napa in the last week of September, we're the first tournament of the new year. I mean, really, these guys, I think they think that the season still starts really in January. So if you go from January to, you know, the first part of September, that's a, really a condensed schedule versus the prior year. So they're all getting out early, trying to get their a win, you know, get some points on the board towards getting into all the invitationals and all the big events, including the Masters. So, you know, I like what's going on. I see an improvement, really, in the fields, which is great. Because there's really no time off now. I mean, these guys have got to, if they want to get in all the majors and get in all the big events, they've got to perform between January and, you know, in the first part of September, which is a shorter window than they've had in the last few years, obviously. And so even though there's more tournaments, there's 48 PGA Tour events now, which is the most they've ever had in a single year, which I, you know, sort of not in favor of, to be honest, because the best players, Tiger, Phil, and those guys, they play about half. And the other half, they don't play. So, you know, if you're one of the tournaments that gets them in the field, it's a bonus. But if not, it's not, you know. And so that's been sort of interesting to see how that plays out, as well. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
All righty. Got to take a break. We're going to keep Jeff on the line here. He's down at La Quinta PGA West. Want to talk about Johnny Miller hanging up the headset as well, and maybe get his thoughts on caddy etiquette as Matt Kuchar created a media storm unintentionally, and we'll see his thoughts on when you go and you pick up a fill-in caddy for a week, what's normal versus what happened here. So we'll have him hang on with us. We'll take a break. We're making the turn here. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Tips for your game from award-winning PGA instructor Harold Bluestein. It's time to Ask the Pro on Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on The Fan by Laurelhurst Market.
Jason Swigert back here with you, 8:31. Unfortunately, Harold is edumacating himself at a rules seminar today, but we've got fellow pro Jeff Sanders hanging out at PGA West. You getting some rounds in down there?
A couple now and then. It's, you know, it's a perfect day to play today. Absolutely fantastic down here. PGA West, by the way, is in phenomenal condition. The golf course for the tournament this year was unbelievable. A stadium course is all you need. Swags, I even think your game might have a little difficulty out there at PGA West. As good a player as you are.
Oh, stop.
You might struggle a little bit.
Yeah, I imagine I would struggle. I am I'm waiting for Pilots basketball season to get over so I can get out there and actually start uncorking it a little bit. But
let's get that going.
Yeah, I know. No, definitely. Come March, once we're finished up, yeah, we'll be out. We'll be seeing you out of Pumpkin there, making sure everything is as it should be. You know, if you need somebody to test things out, length of the rough, I'd be great at testing for the Winco because I'll be in it a lot out there at Witch Hollow.
It's good. That's always a fun week. Can't wait for the Winco Foods Portland Open this year. It's going to be earlier, you know, in August. So we're excited about Aaron Wise now. Well, Aaron's played, and Justin Thomas and some of the big-name players that have come through here and played in Portland and now are just killing it on the PGA Tour. So it is PGA Tour golf like we've talked about, you and I, over the years. It's been proven now that these guys are ready to win right away.
No question. We will get to all of that because there's a lot of changes on the web.com tour overall as well. So we will make sure that we get that in before we're out of here. But I wanted to pick up the other thing that we mentioned, Johnny Miller at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. It was his final telecast for NBC as the 18th hole tower analyst there. And I think in seeing some of the retrospectives that NBC did with him and Golf Channel did, I started to understand maybe he is one of the most misunderstood media personalities in all of golf. He would take so much heat and criticism for the way that he might be hot or opinionated in the booth as traditionally your golf announcers are pretty staid in how critical they will get of guys. And he revolutionized that. There hasn't been anybody like him since. I doubt there will be. Just how unique was Johnny Miller from your perspective and how much did he add to bringing the game of golf to the masses?
Well, Johnny Miller, I mean, in my opinion, is the best golf announcer in the history of the game. I mean, he tells it like it is. And he has a lot he can back it up. He won 25 times on the PGA Tour. And that's a lot of wins. And he didn't play that long. You know, Johnny didn't play a long career. So, you know, he's a great player. He stayed out of the locker room so he could really be partial and make sure that he could call the action the way that he saw it. And not everybody agreed with Johnny. I enjoyed his commentary. I thought I like his commentary because it was honest, it was real, it was coming from a guy who's been there, been the final group on Sunday, won 25 times. You know, it's one thing for a guy to talk about it who's won 4 or 5 times. When you've won 25 times, that gives you an advantage, and it gives you a lot more credibility in what comes out of your mouth. And so, also, I happen to know Johnny as a friend. I mean, I've known Johnny a long, long time. He called me 6 years ago, and when because he's a part owner at Silverado Resort in Napa, and said, "Hey, Jeff, we'd love to have you and your team run the tournament here. If there's any way you can find a sponsor, we'd sure love to have you do it." And fortunately, it worked out that Bob Miller, the chairman of Albertson's Companies, had just purchased Safeway, and we were able to come in the door there. And of course, Albertson's has been our biggest client for 30 years. And so when Bob called, we talked to Bob, and he was all in. You know, the rest is history. But without that phone call from Johnny Miller, the tournament doesn't happen, and we aren't running that tournament today. So my hat's off to Johnny. But he's a great guy. You saw the emotional side. He's got, I don't know, 25 or 30 grandchildren. He really and truly is going to take the rest of his life, honestly, to help coach his kids, his grandkids golf, and teach them how to fish and spend time with his grandchildren, because as all of us who have been in this game a long time, we've traveled a lot. We've missed a lot of things we shouldn't really honestly have missed if you turn the clock back. I have a lot of things that I missed because of my golf and also my work that I wish I, you know, could turn the clock back, but you can't do that. Johnny, I think, feels a little bit that same way. He's been on the road a lot, and he's 72 years old now, so he's been on the road since he was 20. And so he wants to give his life to his grandchildren, which I commend him for. But he's a first-class guy. He's an emotional guy. He's a real guy. He's a sensitive guy. And in the booth, he's second to none. I mean, there's nobody that can, in my opinion, even close. Johnny, and again, some people on the air are going to disagree with me, and that's okay. But this, from my perspective, I appreciate the credibility and the fact that he comes from a 25-win spot where he can really call it. And I think Paul Azinger, by the way, is the right choice. He's going to be fantastic. I mean, Paul Azinger is also a great player. He's won some great big tournaments, and he has an opinion. And I think I think the fans, golf fans, going to miss Johnny Miller, but are going to embrace, I believe, Paul Azinger. He's going to do a great, great job in that role.
Yeah, tough shoes to fill. So
tough shoes, very tough, big shoes.
He knows
really
he knows,
big shoes.
Yeah, he knows exactly what he's getting into with that. One of the other big stories on the PGA Tour recently has been Matt Kuchar, who won at Mayakoba, and that was back in November, if memory serves. But
right.
Story got out that he had hired his regular caddy, couldn't join him or wasn't going to be joining him. So he grabbed a temporary caddy who was local there, which is a regular occurrence on the PGA Tour and especially on the web.com tour. A lot of those guys can't afford to take on regular caddies unless it's kind of a family member or a coach or somebody they got a personal relationship. And so he wins $1.3 million. Story comes out. The caddy only got $5,000 for the week. And then we got a social media storm over everything. Finally, he, this week at the Genesis said he's taking care of him. He had a big, long apology, that he, put out after this, 3 week kind of firestorm. Does the public understand what the normal relationship is when you're picking up a caddy for the week somewhere? Say you're playing an international event like that, or it's maybe not in the traditional season, or, you know, there's personal things. The caddies have families too. Somebody's graduating from high school or birth of a child, something like that, where you're going to let them go. What's the normal standard kind of working relationship for a temporary caddy?
Well, when you have a full-time regular caddy, I mean, they talk about 10% on a win. So that'd have been $126,000 that Cooch's, you know, regular caddy would have earned. Now, whether that's the deal that he has on a yearly basis with his caddy, the full-time caddy, I don't know. Some of them have a higher salary and a lower percentage. Some have a lower salary and a higher percentage. So I don't think there's a standard necessarily that's 100% across the board. I think it really depends on the level of the player, the tenure with the player, how long the caddy's been with the player, what do they do for the player? You know, how do they just carry the bag, or are they way more involved in their life? Are they also a concierge? Are they a chauffeur? I mean, do they take their dry cleaning to the? You know, I mean, how involved is that caddy? When it comes to pickup caddies that you pick up at the golf course because your regular caddy cannot come, you know, the deal that he made with this gentleman Ortiz, he made that before he hit his first shot, and you know, he stuck with it. Okay, I think they had a deal. Let's call it. They had an agreement. No matter, you know, that was going to be the agreement, and yeah, I think Matt figured out that $5,000 on a $1.3 million check is not the right number. And I don't know who helped him with that, but somebody must have helped him figure that out, and came back with what he came back with for $50,000. That's a tough one. I mean, I if I won $1.3 million, knowing myself, I probably would have been leaning the other way, because that's just a lot of money, and to help somebody out, you know, that normally doesn't have any opportunity like that. You know, I think that Matt figured out that would have been the right thing to do. So Matt's a good guy, by the way. Matt Kuchar is one of the best guys on the tour. He's a really nice guy. And I don't think he really wanted to take advantage of this guy. I think he was just thinking about it differently than maybe he should have been thinking about it. Yeah. So I'm kind of taking the center line there, because on one hand, it's a lot of money for somebody, potentially $5,000 or whatever it was. But on the other hand, when you win the tournament, everything changes. I think you've got to adapt, and I think that's what Matt figured out. He needed to be more, you know, be more flexible at the time of the victory. You know what I mean?
Oh, no question. No question. I think that's, unfortunately, yeah, it took him a little while to come to that conclusion. And I think what PGA players are understanding is just how popular things are all across the world, that something like that would come out and blow up in social media the way that it does.
Well, it's interesting. I had an experience when I was 16 years old. I can't go too deep, but I did caddy in a professional tournament. And the person I caddied for won the Pro-Am and finished second in the tournament. And I was out there from Monday to Sunday. And I got paid like, you know, $150 or something back then. It was a long time ago. But it 10% would have been something around, you know, $3,500, let's say, or $4,500. But I was a local kid. I was a junior golfer. I was, playing junior golf at the time. And this person put me on the bag, and you know, probably figured, you know, hey, great week for me. But really, it was one of the most disappointing weeks of my life, because we won the Pro-Am and almost shot 68 the final round, almost won the golf tournament, lost by a shot. And when I got that check, as this, again, pro drove away, I thought, really?
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me. So I was completely taken advantage of. I didn't act on it. I didn't do anything with it. I just took it, put it in my memory banks, and remember that I'm going to be the opposite. I'm going to tip the locker room attendants more than they think they should be tipped. I'm going to always take care of my caddy when I turn pro someday, and always be on the generous side because of that experience that I had. And so there is a tendency, I think, for pros when they don't have their regular caddy, and they pick up a high school kid or a college kid or whomever, that sometimes they don't really think about it the same way. And it tainted me for sure. And I to the point where I wanted to go back a year later and say, hey, I think you need to add a zero here, don't you? It was either that or drill holes in the putter, you know.
That's true.
Go in the bag room, you know, hey, can I get that putter out of that bag? I can take good care of that bullseye. That thing will have three holes in it. But at the end of the day, that's what shapes you, though, right? Yeah. That's what shapes you. You those experiences. So it's not uncommon to sort of just think of a part-time caddy or a pickup caddy differently than your regular caddy.
Well, the other thing, you can always grab the Carl Spackler pitchfork too, and ask for a little something for the effort. So Jeff Sanders, sure, our good buddy, kind enough to join us with Harold at the Rules Seminar this week. We're going to hang on to him for one more segment. We're going to talk web.com tour, Winco Foods Portland Open. They were named the Tournament of the Year on the web.com tour for 2018. So we're going to talk to them about what that means to the tournament, what they've got cooked up for 2019, and some changes on the web.com tour this year. So there'll be a different way to find out who's going to get their tour cards Sunday at Pumpkin Ridge in August. And also they have a new president, which is groundbreaking as well. All of that when we come back here. This is Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Which new driver is best for your game? Who makes the best golf gear? Where should you take your next golf vacation? Which local course should you get to know better? This is the Business of Golf, every week on Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on The Fan by Area Heating and Cooling.
8:47 here, Golf in the Northwest. We've got Sinner and Saint coming up at 9 o'clock for you. And then Ducks basketball tonight, 7 o'clock, round two of the Civil War. They take on Oregon State. I'll be over on 9:10 later tonight. Pilots hosting San Francisco, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock. Tip there. Ducks baseball season also underway. 12:45 will be pregame. 1 o'clock first pitch after they're in Lubbock taking on number 8 Texas Tech, whom they beat in the opener on Friday. So that's what we've got set up for you here today. But so glad our good buddy Jeff Sanders, Executive VP of Lagadier Golf, he runs the Winco Foods Portland Open here. It'll be August 8th through the 11th. Do I have my dates right there for you? Out at Witch Hollow Course at Pumpkin Ridge that has served as its home since it began. And he's joining us here one more segment, but we'll start with winning Tournament of the Year from the web.com tour. That is a big, prestigious honor. I know you guys have been working towards that. Your Boise Open, Albertson's Boise Open, has won that title before, but how important was it for the Winco group to have that distinction here now that they've been running the tournament for a few years?
Well, I couldn't be more proud of the team. You know, Ryan Tejera, our tournament director, has done a phenomenal job. The team just, you know, really, really knocked it out of the park this last year. You know, the vote is Tournament of the Year. That is made by the players and by the other tournaments, so your peers are make that call. And so we all get together in the fall and go to the PGA Tour winter meetings, and that's where they give out the most fan-friendly event, the number one pro-am experience, and the number one tournament of the year. And so this year at those PGA Tour meetings, we were fortunate enough to win the Tournament of the Year on the web.com tour, the Winco Foods Portland Open for 18, and also tie with the Phoenix Open for the most fan-friendly event, Safeway Open in Napa, the most fan-friendly event on the PGA Tour. So it was a big fall for us. I mean, I'm so proud again of the team. They make it happen. As you know these people. You know Pat McCabe. You know Ryan Tejera, Sean Riley, David Babcock, Rondi Schreier. You know all the people on our team that contribute. We've got, in my opinion, we have the best golf event team in the world. I mean, we have the best people, and that's why we have the best team. And they're making it happen, Swags. And like I said, I couldn't be more proud. They're relentless. You know, the customer service level that they provide and is unbelievable. And the creative side, you know, we're raising a lot of money for charity every year in our tournaments, certainly leading the league there for sure. And so it was just super gratifying. You know, we want to win. I mean, we're a highly competitive group. We set our goals high. We want to win the awards. That's what motivates us. And like I said, the team makes it happen. And that was a big deal to come out number one at the Winco Foods in the fifth year of the tournament. The Albertsons Boise Open is celebrating its 30th year this year on the web.com tour, and we've won it a couple of times over there, but this was the first time for the Portland event, so I was just really happy for the community, had for all of our volunteers, the members at Pumpkin Ridge, our team, you know, the charities that contribute, everybody. It was just a big win for everybody.
No question. As we look ahead to this year in 2019, a lot of changes for the tour. Obviously, with the PGA schedule changing, that changes the web.com tour. It's going to be moved up a couple of weeks. August 8th through the 11th will be the tournament. The 7th, they'll have the junior clinic as well on Wednesday. And how does that change things? Obviously, a lot of the same sorts of events and promotions will be going on. You'll still have the Grove out there, Grapes and Golf and Brews out on 12. The pancake breakfast, I'm assuming, on the weekend. But is there anything new, different that the dates allow you to do?
Well, we're going to be unveiling some new things, but honestly, we're going to repeat what we did last year because it works so well. We're going to tweak it, make some adjustments to the model, and then put it out at Pumpkin Ridge again. But in general, you know, we're not going to change a whole lot because it's really working well. We want to keep it going. The beers and brews, the brews on number 12, you know, now we added the wineries, has really taken off. It's a fun place for people to go. You know, our belief is that we need to have this entertainment model, food, wine, music, and golf. Put some local Portland beers with it, and you got a great group of ingredients there to have a great event. We've done the same thing at Safeway. We've done the same thing at the Desert, where we have concerts. We do a lot more than just the golf tournament. The golf tournament's the centerpiece always, and it will be again this year at the Winco Foods Portland Open. But it's all the other things you can do, too, when you go out there as a family or as a customer of one of our sponsors in one of their skyboxes. I mean, from playing golf at Ghost Creek to watching golf at Pumpkin Ridge, Witch Hollow, the best golf course in all the Northwest, in my opinion, Witch Hollow at Pumpkin Ridge. I mean, what a great place. Walk those beautiful fairways out there and enjoy the day. But at the end of the day, our entertainment model is interesting, Swags. They named it Golfcella down in the desert. And that was kind of cool. That was a headline in the Desert Sun newspaper. Golfcella hits the desert. And, you know, I mean, again, that's what we're all about. Our model, we're running events. We're running entertainment events. The golf tournament is a centerpiece, but all the things around the golf tournament are what we're really focused on to make those fan experiences the best they can possibly be. So I just would expect more and more all the time in terms of the fan experience. The golf, I mean, whether it's Aaron Wise coming through, Justin Thomas coming through, Tony Finau coming through, Siwoo Kim coming through. I mean, we've got – the golf is PGA Tour golf. Everybody knows that. There's over 500 wins now. So we got the product. Now we just need to make it more fun and to keep it super affordable for everybody.
No question. As for the golf, a change this year, they've gone from – the Web.com Tour has gone from a money ranking to a point system similar to the FedEx Cup. I'm not going to ask you to explain it all. But as you're watching it, what precipitated the change? Did they think the money system was not as fair to the players, or do you know why the tour decided to go to this change rather than just leave it strictly on money accumulated?
Well, I think it was probably just to make some changes that the players actually are in favor of. There's a council, there's a board of players that come up with these ideas that make it, you know, more fair. Some guys were getting in a lot more tournaments than other guys. And I think that played into it a little bit. I know that the medalist, of course, on the qualifying, the Web.com Tour qualifying school is exempt all year long on the next year on the PGA Tour. The numbers 2 through 10 get in the first 12 tournaments automatically. They get entry in the first 12 tournaments. In other words, just the first 10 tournaments. You know, giving these guys access, right, having them have a better chance to compete when they get their cards is what I think that was all about. Now, we're going to have to wait and see whether it works or not. I kind of liked it the way that it was, to be honest, where they scissored them in, you know.
Yeah.
And I liked that. I thought that was fair. But, you know, we'll see. There's been a lot of changes recently, and a lot of them have to do, again, with trying to condense the schedule and not be competing against other, you know, NFL football in the fall, et cetera. Or even college football. Like, you know, a lot of times in Portland, Oregon, we've had situations with professional golf tournaments where they're up against Oregon State, Oregon, and Portland State football on a Saturday. Well, what chance do you have to have anybody at your golf tournament on a Saturday if you're playing that week? I mean, I feel bad because there's no way. So I think a lot of it has to do with scheduling. But we'll see what happens. I think I like change, so let's let it play out and see where we end up, pal.
Well, we'll be watching it and getting people dialed in as we watch and await the 25 PGA Tour cards that'll be handed out there on the 18th green Sunday, August 11th. You can go to wincogolf.com for all the details. Get your tickets with 100% of the tickets going to local charities. Our good buddy Jeff Sanders, I can't thank you enough for hanging out on the phone with us all morning. Go out. Hopefully you got a tee time here very soon out of PGA West. And we'll see you in studio sometime when you get back to town.
Thanks for having me, Swags. Make sure Bluestein sends me a report on the new rules that he went through.
Oh, that's all we're going to talk about next week.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you. Jeff Sanders, Executive VP, Lagadier Golf, their events, runs the Winco Foods Portland Open. So we appreciate him taking time. Harold will be back next Saturday. We'll have a full report from him. We've also got our Orange Whip training devices, training equipment from Burke Nelson. So we'll start giving those away one a week for the next 6 or 7 weeks. So we want to thank Burke, and we'll let you know, listen in on how you can pick yourself up an Orange Whip training device there. As always, thanks to Will Darkins. They're on the board. Sinner and Saint is up next. That'll do it here for another edition of Golf in the Northwest. I'm Jason. Hit him straight.
All of a sudden, we took an inch off the length of my club.
How wide you are, how big your hands are.
Wind's blowing in our faces. I just cream.
Fiji's in Europe.